was sailing back on barkentine and talk of things he did. Tomorrow just a day away for the captain and the kid. His world had gone from sailing ships to Rick and Mom's backyard. He never could adjust to land, although he tried so hard. We both were growing older then and wiser with our years. That's when I came to understand the course his heart still steals. Died about a month ago while winter filled the air. And though I cried, I was so proud to love a man so rare. He's somewhere on the ocean now, the place he ought to be. One hand on the starboard rail, he's waving back at me. And I never used to miss the chance to climb upon his knee and listen to those many tales of life upon the sea. We'd go sailing back on barkentine and talk of things he did. The world was just a day away for the captain and the kid. For the captain and this kid.
East Mississippi, West Alabama's News Talk 1010 MOX. Welcome back to the fourth and final hour of the morning show. Bill Smith in, along with
Dumpster Dog and Mr. Paul Tarver.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because you're saying fourth hour, but it's my third hour. Does that mean I get to go the next hour?
You have to go one more hour.
You got to pull an hour, man.
Well, Ellie's here, so the train is gone.
Well, that's good news because maybe I can get back to my truck now.
You got a long walk.
I know. Well, I'm trying to negotiate with Dumpster to have him drive me off.
We're working something out here.
All right, well,
so far, it's going to cost me.
Yeah, it'll cost you and cost you and cost you.
I know.
All right, welcome back, and we're talking about fathers and Father's Day and everything else.
Well, why don't you go ahead and take them calls?
I'll do it. Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I am excellent.
Good, good. Good to see you, man.
You too.
How's he looking, Chuck?
I've always been told I had a face for radio, so.
I know, and I'm still picturing him crawling up under that train.
I knew you would have an image in your mind, and frankly, I
can't get rid of it, man.
Well, did you keep your breakfast down?
Well, you ought to hear the fire ant story if you want that picture.
Oh, I don't want to hear about that one.
No, if he had to
shuck some clothes to get them fire ants off of him, I don't want to hear about that.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Check them for ticks.
It makes sense to me like Chuck's been there.
I promise you. I've been there, done that. I've dove into water running from hornets too. Now that's not another fun situation. But I went off into a creek where running from hornets' nests. So I've done about everything you can do as far as wild animals and running from insects. But anyway, y'all on Father's Day, and Bill, you may can't pull it up today, but the Tim McGraw song would be really good. Live Like You Were Dying. I don't know, everybody knows the story about it. him and his dad, Tug McGraw, they lost all that time, you know, not having each other and all that. And right at the end, they got back together, and then the song came out and everything. But that's a heck of a father and son story.
So I'll try to pull it up.
That'll be a good one. We're listening, guys.
All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Good morning. You're on the morning show. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. I just want to tell you about a grandfather that is awesome.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Some people know him as Dumpster Dog, but my children call him Pop.
Pop. They don't call him Dog, do they?
Well, sometimes.
Do they really?
But what could be better than a grandfather taking a kid to Lowe's and spending hours looking at materials to build a robot with a 6 or 7 or 8 year old?
Wow. Well, I want to build one too, so, you know.
It doesn't get better than that.
So he's a good grandfather, huh?
He is awesome.
So this wild man image that he's trying to project out there, you're saying is just an image?
It's just an image.
Playboy image.
He spends tons of time with both of my boys, and it's wonderful.
Well,
You
keep that up, we're going to have to give him an award or something.
Yeah, put me in for
him. Well, he deserves an award. He's wonderful.
He's a good guy, good grandfather. Right?
He is, and we're so glad to have him in our family.
All right. Hey, thanks, Melissa. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
All right. How about that?
Thank you.
How about it, Dumpster?
I don't know how to follow that. I thank you. Appreciate it.
Let me throw a couple of more quotes out here that you guys might or might not enjoy. He didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Clarence Cadall.
Say it again.
He didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it.
A little version of do as I do, rather.
So we have to simplify all these down to your level of understanding.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Mine too.
Dumpster goes through it every day.
A truly rich man is one whose children run into his arms when his hands are empty.
Oh, very good.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
That is good.
One father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters.
One father is good as 100 schoolmasters.
Worth more than 100 schoolmasters.
Okay.
And before we take this call, a father carries pictures where his money used to be.
Ha! All right.
Like now that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
It does. That says it all. Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver. Welcome.
Yes, is this Miss 101?
This is not Miss 101. You looking for Scotty Ray and Debbie?
This is WMOX, the morning show.
Oh, are they still on? I don't even know if they're still on. But you're on the morning show. This is the Big Ten.
You want to be on?
Really? This is for Jason Aldean thing?
No, but I think Dumpster could probably get you some tickets. You got connections over Miss 101?
I do. I do have connections over there. But,
I don't do that. Really?
Oh, we're kidding with you.
Yeah,
Hey, listen, call, what's their number? Ellie, 693-23-4101,
I think. Hold on.
Oh, is it still that? Is it still 693-4101? Give that a whirl.
Thank you.
And tell them we said hi from the Big Ten.
Tell them we sent you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
She was nice.
Yes, 29 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That's too funny.
She looking for tickets to the Jason Aldean. Is it Aldean?
I didn't even know what she said.
I didn't catch
it
either.
Well, Miss 101, they're having, I think it's their second annual country throwdown concert downtown. Mm-hmm. And Jason Aldean is a country singer.
Well, I was confess, I don't know who Jason Aldean is.
I think you pronounce it that way. Anyways, he's up and coming, or I don't know a lot about him. But anyway, you get they give away tickets on
another radio station.
Miss 101.
101.
Wait,
okay.
Miss 101. Yeah.
Okay.
Miss 101, home of Scotty Ray and Debbie.
All right.
Is there anything else you want to know about any station?
I don't know.
By the way, you ought to listen to Ron Harper's new station, 103.3.
How is the light? How is it doing?
It's good. It's the music is good.
Well,
it's
that's fine.
Christian contemporary,
but they can't tune over there until 10 o'clock. They shouldn't tune over there until when?
Until after.
When should they listen to that, Bill?
Now, wait a minute.
What show should they tune out and go
tune in? I mean, Paul,
can
I say something good about somebody without you getting causing me grief?
I'm not. I'm just asking you when will be a good time for me to listen to him when I have to listen to MOX.
When you're on.
When I...
on the break. During the break.
All right, here we are.
All right. That having been said, I want you to play one. I want you to play Cut 5. The reason is, now listen, this is a goofy song, but it's an old Jerry Reed song, and I think it's we've gotten to a little bit lighter mood at this point, and I think it'd be appropriate. And we may have a surprise guest when we come back from the song.
Oh, that's right. Here okay. we go. Here we go.
Sunday school teacher. My brother went to college and got a PhD. Daddy said the only dude in the family was me. He said, boy, you ain't never gonna amount to a thing. You sit around for that silly looking guitar and sing. You hang around them juke joints all the time, making music like some wild and unlawful mind going, sock it to me. Well, what's that supposed to mean? Boy, you just
All right, little Jerry Reed.
You know, think about that, though. That is a perfect example of a dad. You know, it's like, tell you, you know, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing that. And then when you make it successful,
taught him everything I know.
Listen, we've been talking about fathers all morning this morning. And I just got the feeling that, you know, maybe what I ought to do is call my dad. So here on the phone right now is my father, Daniel Tarver, in Natchez, Mississippi, long distance. Are you there, Dad?
I'm here.
You're here?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to call and wish you a happy Father's Day.
It ain't Father's Day.
Well, but it's...
Straighten him out. You still got to straighten that boy out.
That's it ain't right. My birthday either.
Well, no, but that's coming up too, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you want for your birthday?
I guess you'd come see me.
Well, envelopes are good too, right?
Well, he said come see
him. Yeah, but they're not as good as coming to see
you. That's right.
Listen, you are on the air right now at WMOX at AM 1010 in Meridian with Dumpster Dog and Bill Smith and myself, and we are talking about fathers, and I just wanted to call. I told a story about the concrete flying over the concrete truck earlier.
About doing what now?
About flying out of the concrete truck, and I told him a little bit about you getting run over by an 18-wheeler. I didn't go into anything about the arc welder.
Well, that's pretty involved.
Yeah, it was a complicated story, and I didn't do anything about the Pinto, although that one just takes a long time to tell. Is there any major one that I missed then? That
well, the Zoom Rockets.
Well, the Zoom Rockets. That was. I think we talked about the Zoom Rockets in one of my other shows.
Oh, okay.
He was out of work, and he was playing with me with a balloon and a straw and created this thing that would zoom up in the air and fly, and we made them, manufactured them in the front living room, and then sold them all over the Southeast.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Zoom it's a cool story.
Zoom rocket. But did you have an accident with a Zoom rocket?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about an accident. Okay.
Now, we had an accident when we were selling Zoom rockets. Is it my imagination? Didn't you lose an axle one time on a car while we was out selling Zoom rockets?
No, what happened, we had went through Birmingham and ran over something in the road and broke the exhaust pipe manifold and made a lot of racket, and we went to up in Tennessee, and that night we was going to spend the night, and some reason or another, was talking about it, and I was outside the car, and your mom had to, she slammed the door. You couldn't roll the window down. You had to roll the window down before you slammed the door or something. Anyway, she slammed the door, and the window fell down. We had to drive a long way with the window down and making all the noise.
But now this is the guy that went out and picked up Coke bottles to make enough money so we could go buy the parts to make these things to go and sell them all over the Southeast. It was a great life.
How about that?
Great life.
Did you make any money on this project?
How long did we live on Zoom rockets, Dad?
Whole year.
Really?
Yep. Sold them three in a bag, 25 cents per bag.
No. they were...
Paul.
I thought there was three in a bag for 50 cents.
Well,
it was a retail.
We wholesaled them for a nickel, and they sold retail for a dime.
Oh, well, you wasn't making as much as I thought you was.
No, it cost a half a cent. Let's see, it cost a whole cent to make them. And then we had our labor involved to make them, so we made a couple pennies a piece.
Well, I remember him punching holes in these little plastic deals that went in the end, and then me and mom putting balloons on them, and then we'd put them in bags and then put them in the buckets.
Had letter scales to weigh them on.
Yeah.
We weighed them, so
instead
actually
of counting,
what we did with those, we put them in a fishing worm box and put a label on it, had 60 to the box, and we sent them like that in a master case, see?
Yeah.
And they put them out at their cash registers and stuff, and they could just buy one at a time, 10 cents a piece.
Now, whose idea was to came up with this Zoom rocket?
Well, Paul was six. I think he was 6 years old. He was playing with the straw and the balloon. It was scoot all over the floor. Yeah. So, just happened to think I had some plastic plugs in my toolbox. So I went and got one and took a ice pick and got it hot and melted a hole in the center and hooked it up, and it flew up in the air 40, 50 feet, so we were off to the races.
How about that?
Man.
Sure did.
You're the inspiration, Paul.
I live with entrepreneurs. I mean, his brother, he's at a shop right now that's owned by his brother. And
yeah, we're fixing to take a coffee break right now.
Well, I thought the coffee clutch started at 9 o'clock.
No, it starts at 10. We do 30-minute, we do a coffee break morning and afternoon. So I have five things I do every day. Morning coffee break, evening coffee break. I have guaranteed that I work 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the evening. I've already got my 30 minutes in this morning.
Uh-huh. It's a hard day.
Take lunch, and then I take a nap.
Man, that's a hard day.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, sometimes I miss the work part.
you can't work that in sometimes.
That's right. Now, yesterday we had dinner at my house. Didn't have 10 people yesterday. Sometimes we have 20.
Mm-hmm.
So we had barbecue chicken, tater salad, and fresh squash, fresh cucumbers, and tomatoes out of the garden.
Listen, Paul, if you don't go down there, I'm going.
That's every Wednesday we feed 15 to 20.
Well, all you got to do is show up at his house about 11 or 12
o'clock. 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock on Wednesday, and he'll feed you.
Every Wednesday.
It don't matter who you are.
Every Wednesday.
Tell him you know me, and he'll feed you.
Well, that's right. But really, we have had some people come. I think they were just in the neighborhood.
Just dropped in, huh?
I didn't know who they were.
No question.
Well, I was telling the guys earlier how y'all have this coffee clutch. You got my Aunt Polly and my Uncle Sydney. Bobby and Uncle Sydney. That's your uncle.
Yeah.
My great uncle. And George and Roxy.
Right.
George and Betty. I guess Betty Jean comes down when she's not working, doesn't she?
Well, she does sometimes.
Okay. And then Roxy.
Kind of a family get together.
Yeah. I don't know. Does Ella come down there and drink coffee,
John? Never come.
She don't ever come drink coffee?
Really, there's not enough room. He's got to add on to the shop to have a bigger break room.
A bigger break room.
That's right.
Well, what happens to work when the coffee clutch meets? Do you just comes to a stop?
Everything shuts down.
Really?
Nothing happens.
Twice a day.
Do you have any good local talk radio to listen to?
Talk radio? We listen to the
95 Country here in Natchez.
How many stations?
Roscoe.
The Rocco.
Roscoe.
Oh, Roscoe.
Okay. I think most of the time they listen to each other talk.
Well.
Because they talk everything from, they try to stay off of politics because that'll get old Sidney upset.
Politics and religion probably are taboo, right?
Well, religion's not.
Politics especially.
Politics especially. They try to stay away from politics.
Well, I was going to try to draw you into some political talk.
Now,
don't talk about vehicles either because most all of us ride Ford products.
There you go, Doctor.
What about the GM people? They don't.
They don't drink coffee here.
That's funny.
They go to other coffee
shops.
They
go to other coffee shops, right.
All right.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I was going to play a trick on you this morning, and I changed my mind.
What was you going to do?
Well, what I was going to do, whenever you called, Roxy was going to tell me you were on the phone, and I was going to pick up the phone and understand, I'm kind of hard of hearing, and I was going to pretend like that, that I thought they were calling for you, and I was going to say, well, Paul's not here. He left 24 years ago going to college, and he hadn't been back home to stay since. And I said he was going off to school, learning to be some kind of headmaster or something other like that. And no, it wasn't a headmaster. It was a head guru.
Head guru.
He lives in Meridian. I can give you his phone number, and you can talk to the guru over there, but he's not here.
Hey, that's what we call him, guru.
Yeah, and I was going to do that, and I said, I better not do that.
Actually, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to start calling me the real guru. Because there's somebody riding around with some sign on their truck that said guru.
Really?
So I'm a real guru.
Well,
I appreciate you.
Hey, did you get my email the other day where I wrote you and told you that that your everybody's perception of how wise you were was growing by leaps and bounds?
No, I don't. I told you, I explained to you the other day I was having a computer problem.
And that's true.
I don't know if it's the computer or whether it's me.
Well.
But also, I noticed this morning I was trying to get on the internet and look up a word, and I got to where it says the search engine was, and I went to Google, like you said, and I started typing it in, and nothing typed.
I guess I'm going to have to go down there and take a look at your computer.
Are you going to charge him, Paul?
No, he's going to feed me.
Mileage? Oh, okay.
No, he's going to feed me.
There you go.
I really need a lesson.
Well, we can work that out.
Paul knows something about computers.
A little bit.
Well, says he does, anyway.
I was thinking what I need is a satellite connection.
Those are expensive.
Well, I know, but that would give me...
Well, I tell you what's funny, though. One of the cool things about email, I will say this, and the relationship between me and my dad, we both understand each other. It's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. He'll send me an email message because he doesn't type. And I don't mean that in a bad way, Dad. You're a mechanic.
I took typing one day, and then I had to leave because I couldn't do that.
Well, I know, but I mean... but he kind of is a two-finger typer. And sometimes one... Yeah, and so the letters I get from him are... it's addressed to me, and it'll say, planted tomatoes today, rained hard last week, went to Jackson yesterday, love pop. Okay? Well, I feel obligated at that point. I first of all, I need to respond, but second of all, I feel obligated to make it where it's something that he can enjoy. So I end up writing him back 3 pages worth of what's going on. Mm-hmm. In return, because I understand that he would never write me a 3-page email because it would take a week and a half, and so I try to respond, accordingly.
I don't believe I'd talk to my dad like you talk.
Well, what do you mean talk to him?
Well, if I was going to write something, I would write a letter and send it to you.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, and you've done that before.
Exactly.
And I have those letters.
Right.
Because I don't get rid of those letters. But what I was telling you in the email is that you've garnered an image over here. Which, from my standpoint, is probably deserved, but I just wanted you to understand that people over here think you are a lot wiser than maybe what meets with reality because...
What? A few words?
Well, the thing about it is every time I pick up a piece of knowledge from anybody, I attribute it to my father. So it really doesn't matter who I learn it from. The reason is because it's easier to remember my dad used to tell me than it is to remember all the individual people who told me stuff.
Right.
So it doesn't matter who...
Just give him credit for it.
I just give him credit. I'm giving him credit for everything. There's people over here in Meridian that think you live on top of a mountaintop.
Wow.
And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just want you to understand that your image precedes you because, everything I learn, my dad taught me that.
Do you understand what I did to overcome the deer eating my garden?
No.
I put it all up on platforms.
Oh, that's right.
And barrels, and the deer don't climb the steps yet.
He's an inventor.
Oh, really?
You elevated your garden.
Everything's growing elevated.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
What else have you invented? I mean, I'm interested. My son is—he's headed that way, I think.
He built a transmission deal arrangement where he had two transmissions on one truck, so he ride down the road at 70 miles an hour in first gear.
Well, no, it was really an overdrive, you know.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. Your image is completely different because I'm telling a whole different story.
Two transmissions. What, in case one went out or something?
No, he double-geared it.
No, what I did, I took one and turned it backwards where that I'd have a big-time overdrive. You'd be idling down the road 70 miles an hour.
And all of a sudden.
Oh.
I mean, it would go pretty fast, you know.
I got you.
And the engine not going very fast.
Okay, so you get some great gas mileage.
I only did that for a test run, just see if it worked.
That's great. So I love it. I'm crazy about inventors.
Absolutely.
Didn't you do something one time where you worked out a deal where you could cut the cylinders off?
Yeah, I was trying that. Also, I had water injection.
Yeah, you did the water
injection. Well, you are way ahead of your time because they've got them out now that they disengage about four cylinders when you get up to highway speed.
Right.
Yeah, but he had a deal. He had a manual pull on the dash, I guess, and you pull it. And it
you pull the spark plug wires off?
Pretty much. Of course, you had to stop at every light and jump out and put spark plug wires back on, but he knew there was a market there somewhere.
You tell him about the time that the policeman stopped you when you were driving and you were spinning your tires and smoking the tires. And
I don't tell him a whole lot about me and the police. It'll come back to haunt me.
Yeah,
but it was almost the worst beating I ever got in my life.
Well,
I looked
what
at the post. Well, I don't know. He tells. Let him tell
his
side.
Let Dad tell.
Maybe I can tell him he's got the story wrong.
No, just you said that the policeman stopped you for. And said that your dad was having to, you know, buy those tires, you know, and you was burning the rubber off of them. You said, well, he gets them wholesale.
Let me tell you what, if a policeman... Right.
Then they took him to jail.
Well, no, if a policeman ever showed restraint, because he had a giant mag light in his hand. He was holding it up on his shoulder. And I could see just from the glow his face. And I believe he considered for at least a half a second whacking me upside the head with that mag light. But he ended up.
Did you actually tell him that?
Yeah, I told him that. It popped out. I had a tendency when I was that age to say things that sometimes come back to haunt me. But yeah, I didn't cause a lot of problems when I was growing up.
No, you're a good kid.
Yeah.
Well, no problem.
In retrospect.
And what happened to him?
I guess the only thing I regret is that I worked too much.
Well, you know what? I think that's probably a regret that a lot of fathers have.
I was about to say. That's...
Yeah, I've heard that before. Right. Nobody ever. Everybody regrets spending too much time at the office and not enough time at home.
Bill, just in case that's somebody that I know trying to call and wants to say something to my dad, can we take two calls at once?
We can do it.
We can.
Yeah, they call that conference call.
Well, can we do that? Let's see who that is.
Good morning. You're on the morning show with Paul Tarver and his father.
Morning, Glory. What's your story?
There he
is.
Hey,
Bob.
Hey, that two transmission truck?
Yeah.
What was that, a five and a four?
It was two, three speeds.
A five-speed with a four-speed Brownie behind it.
No, afraid not.
What was it, Dad?
It was just a Ford pickup with another Ford pickup transmission turned around backwards.
Did it have two sticks in it?
No, I just had it. I just had a cable running up where I could shift it one time.
One time?
The second one ran in second gear, and the others ran in the other gears.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Well, now, there were some trucks years ago that had two transmissions in them.
Oh, I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, I know there was. I drove one of them one time. And messed up every move I made because you had to shift both of them at the same time.
Yeah, well, I couldn't have drove it.
And if you didn't do it right, they'd hang up in gear.
Right.
And you'd actually have to pull off the side of the road and stop to get them out of gear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I took piano lessons for a couple of days, and when I found out I had to do something with my feet and hands, I had to give it up.
I heard that. That's all right. I took guitar lessons one time, too.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
I couldn't do that either. I don't have any rhythm.
I know three chords. C, F, and G7.
What?
C, F, and G7.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. See me later.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Bye.
See you later.
I got to say this about Bob, Dad. You don't know this, but when I did the radio show with TV back years and years and years ago, Bob was running a truck up and down the highway, and he would call us on Saturday afternoons from wherever in the country he was.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of a weekly feature. He would call in, where's world is Bob, you know?
Okay.
And so Bob's an old favorite that he's a good guy. Does a lot of stuff with the veterans here in town, and he and his wife both do a lot with them. They're good people.
Well, Paul, your dad is so laid back and kind of cool as the day is long and relaxed and modest. What happened with you?
Yeah, well, there's a contrast.
There's a big difference.
Well, you know, the thing is, he's actually got an advantage over me because he knows at this point he can say anything you want to it. Nobody's going to come back and get him.
That's right.
Now, I'm stuck. I got to live here, so I got to be careful.
You tell him about the dog, Paul?
Which dog?
The dog that bit the postman.
No, I didn't tell him about Butch.
You should have told that story.
I didn't tell about Butch, but yeah, you're welcome to.
We got
that was
time
your favorite dog. You should tell that story.
Let's hear it.
You got time?
Well, you can tell it, Paul.
Well, you tell it. You was there. You was one on crutches.
I had foot surgery, and I was sitting in my easy chair that it's about 10, 11 o'clock in the daytime, and the doorbell rang and went, and I had the back door open. My little dog, Paul's dog Butch, was laying there, you know,
Terrier. Yeah, he was a terrier.
And I went to the front door and I left the back door open, and I opened the door, and it was the post lady. She had a package for me, and that dog didn't like the postman. So he had made his way through the house 90 miles an hour and bit the lady on the leg, and he took off down the street. And of course, the lady sued me over the dog. And
really?
Promptly, the police came out there. I forgot how many police cars came about that dog.
Wow.
And but I guess the neighbors who had thought we was having a major crime problem there. But anyway, I had two of them just alike, and they came to get the dog, and I said, well, if you know which one it is, take him. But they never did take the dog. It was a lot of excitement over the dog biting the post lady.
Butch was an interesting dog anyway. Butch would get out, and he would run around the dog catcher truck while he rode down the road. I mean, he was just
come on, get me. Come on.
Yeah,
he was. He took on – I heard him fighting out in the yard with some dog who looked out there, and it was a Doberman. He was taking on Doberman. This dog couldn't have been – you know,
attitude. Attitude.
Oh, it was all about attitude with Butch.
Boy, he'd live up to his name.
That's right.
So he was a good dog. And we've had some – that's one thing about it. I will say this. We've had some good dogs over the years, ain't we, Dad? Hello?
Yeah.
You know, Duchess and Butch and – of course, that was that one Doberman you had that was you said was dumber than an anvil.
He was.
He'd tear up an anvil, I think is what you said. He told a story when he finally decided to get rid of that dog one time. He called us, oh, boy, and I don't know if you knew him or he's a friend of yours or what, but anyway, he got this guy to take this dog, and the guy come and got him. He got out on Interstate 55 around Jackson, and this dog put his nose on the back of that feller's neck and growled, and the feller sort of indicated that it was a moment of truth or consequences at that point between him and that dog, and whether or not he was going to have to pull off on the side of the road and exit that vehicle very quickly or not. But I think did he end up keeping that dog, or did he give him away?
No, he kept him for a long time. Yeah. He kept him chained up, and the kids would come by, and if they got too close, he'd run out and he'd attack the bicycle and eat the tires off of it. So he was pretty vicious.
Eat the tires off.
He had this female Doberman that he rescued from a pound or something, and she had a tendency. She was very protective of him, and you can tell a lot about a man about how animals react with him. And my dad has always had good reaction with deer, and him don't get along real well because of the garden. But
yeah,
but anyway, this Duchess, she was a regal. That's why we called her Duchess. She was very regal. She would follow him everywhere. But if the pizza man, if they ordered pizza, and the pizza man pulled up, Duchess would greet him at the gate with her paws on top of the gate looking over at the pizza guy. They would have to go out and get the pizza. Pizza guy wouldn't even think about delivering it.
Don't blame him.
So anyway, that's been fun. But anyway, the upshot of it is, Dad, I want to call and tell you I loved you.
Well, I love you.
Happy
too.
Father's Day. I hope you have a great one.
When are you going to see him, Paul?
Well, you know, Pam and I are already discussing that and when we're going to go down there. We wanted to do it.
It's going to be a surprise, huh?
No, we wanted to kind of do it between Father's Day and your birthday. You know, you kind of got a bum rap because your birthday is so close to Father's Day.
And he's got a busy schedule down there.
Well, and he does. You have to cut in on that work schedule, and it's kind of hard to do.
Well, that's true. You didn't tell him the other thing about the dog, though. One day a man brought me a pie, and the dog always ran around the house when somebody came fast. And I went and got the pie, and I was fixing to turn around and walk back up on the porch, and the dog made a round, and as I picked up one leg, he hit the other one, and I hit the concrete floor, and the pie went sailing.
Really?
So the dog got the pie?
No, he come back and licked me in the face and checked to make sure I was okay.
Gave you some pie.
How about that?
That's a smart dog.
Yeah, not
like
bad.
To kill me. But if you hook the latch into the gate, he could unflip the lock and get out and go.
I've got one that does that right
really?
Now.
How about that?
But anyway, I appreciate smart you dog. Calling and.
Well, I thought the capper on a perfect day about fathers would be for me to call and visit with my dad. Well, and so
it's been great, and you've been entertaining. Let
I
me
wish
say
I
that.
Could be there and give you a big hug.
Well, you know, you got one via the airways. You know it's there.
Okay.
And I told these guys earlier in between the break, I said, you know, one thing about my relationship with my dad, I don't see my dad. We don't hug, shake hands, and tell each other we love each other. And so just pretend like we did it.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks.
Enjoy
it's nice
talking with other guys. And
yeah. Nice to meet you.
Hope somebody out there in the airways enjoyed it.
Nice to hear from you. And yeah, I know they did.
Come 12 o'clock one Wednesday.
Okay.
12 o'clock one Wednesday. We're there.
Real? Roger. What are we going to have?
Road trip.
Whatever.
Okay, whatever. Okay.
Potluck.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. All right. Love you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, guys. That's my dad.
That's your
I
dad.
Like his sense of humor.
He is a trip. He is a
He's
trip.
He's not like you.
He is not like you at all. He is.
And I don't say that in a bad sense now, Paul. Don't,
y'all are
you know,
different.
I was sitting here thinking a while ago, you know, I was telling Bill earlier, you know, I'm on the phone these days, and the older I get, I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I'm transported 30 years because the voice coming out of my head is my dad, not me. And you guys are sitting here telling me I'm not like him.
Well, he don't seem, I mean.
He sounds so calm.
He's retired. And he can do anything he wants to do.
Has he always been, like, calm and unfettered like
when he's yelling at you, did he talk like this?
No, but I'll tell you what, you knew the quieter he got, the madder he was.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
The worse it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. If he was yelling, that was one level.
That was a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
I love those dog stories, Paul.
Oh, that's a trip.
Hey, we've got to go.
You know, the time just flies. I told you.
I know. Boy, do we have to go. Paul Tarver, ladies
and
gentlemen.
What a show, Paul.
Been a great show. We've talked about fathers and a whole bunch of things, And happy Father's Day to all the dads.
That's right.
When is it? 2 weeks?
Sunday.
This Sunday. Okay.
Sunday. When are you coming
Make
back?
Make a note.
Happy Father's
I guess
Day.
I'll book that with Ellie in another 4 weeks or so.
Oh, don't wait that long.
Well, I know. Y'all have me here every week if I'd let you. But,
you got that right.
Well, I'll figure out what the next one's about, and maybe I won't keep it a secret, but... That way you
right.
guys can move on.
All right, Paul.
Guys,
Tarver.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks
again,
Paul
once
Tarver.
Again. And I assume since you invited me when I'm coming back, that means I do get to come back, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Good.
Of course,
thanks,
you
guy.
Can't leave until I leave anyway, so you'll be here with me.
I'm going to be right. thumbing a ride.
He'll catch you halfway at the barn.
All right.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. Good show. A few minutes before 10 and News Restaurant.
All right.